Welcome. Welcome, chat. Welcome, my dear audio listeners. Welcome to those using those optic nerves to watch. It's me, D. Trussell, and this is the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. Now what?
I think you can keep going.
Oh my God, it's November, and you know, everybody knows what November is. November is the worst month, and for a lot of different reasons. Primarily because Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and the reason Thanksgiving sucks is because of turkey. Turkey is a scam, and when November comes around, we're all forced to confront something that I think most of us don't really want to look square in the eye, which is that if turkey is a scam, and I'll go into why it's a scam in a moment, how many other things have we been tricked into doing and believing? Are we just pigeons in some kind of Skinnerian box being trained to peck and poke away at things? Are we turkeys ourselves, eating ourselves in some kind of dark cannibalistic ritual, which Thanksgiving represents? I mean, aside from like the origins of Thanksgiving, which are insane, to the sort of forced gorging on, like, it's like turkey was the first iteration of the chicken. You know, you get better at things. And I imagine that God didn't just like immediately make great things. There were sort of precursors, and then the next thing came. And so God was like, how do I make a delicious bird? Turkey. It sucks. Wasn't good. Did not get the numbers God was looking for. God got ratioed by the turkey. Not a lot of faves. A lot of people tried it, though. And then you get this very sad effect. Maybe somebody in the chat can help me remember what the effect is, where you keep doubling down on something. You invest in something. It didn't work, but you keep investing in it. What's that fucking called?
Insanity?
Thank you, Josh. It is a form of, it's an actual form of insanity. Sunk cost fallacy. Thank you, Bando. Sunk cost fallacy. Turkey is the classic example of sunk cost fallacy. Because you only make it once a year. And before I even go into that, let me just point something out. We have Burger King. We've got Wendy's. We've got Chick-fil-A. Where's the Turkey King? Where's the turkey? One fast food restaurant that's like, it's turkey. You've got, what is it called? I don't even know if you have it anymore. There used to be this horrific seafood restaurant. Fast food seafood. Fucked up that even existed. Like Captain Rogers or something was what it was called. But in the before times, before the world ended, you would go to these fucking fast food. You get everything's fried. Fried fish. It was awful. You get sick 100% of the time. Obviously, we have Mexican restaurants. You got Taco Bell. God bless them. Where is the turkey fast food is all I'm saying. If it's so good, if it's such a delicious meat, where is it? Why aren't we having turkey on 4th of July? Because it sucks. Turkey sucks. All the way across the board, whether you're eating that sliced turkey. I don't care if you went, if you decided you were just going to be fancy and you actually went to the deli counter. Oh, you prince of sandwiches. And you had them slice turkey for you. Like you're some kind of fucking emperor. And then you get your nice little bag of freshly sliced turkey. In your poor brainwashed mind, you're thinking this will be good. It's fresh deli turkey, and it sucks. Or you go and get the processed shit. It's like eating gel. I don't even know what. It's like eating softened, like edible Play-Doh. It's horrible. And so I'm not looking at the chat right now because my guess is I'm going to have to do a lot of bans. Because my guess is there's people in the chat pushing back. And this is classic. This is classic. This isn't the first time I've brought this up, and it won't be the last. But there's people who will tell you, you see, no, you just don't know how to cook it right. Inevitably. You don't know how to cook turkey right. Now, this is where the sunk cost fallacy comes in. Because we only do this insane roasting of the fucking turkey once a year. And because we only have like one chance to do it, each time you do it and it's not so great, you think, oh, okay, well, I'm just learning. But from that perspective, it's going to take you a decade to even get close to a place where you could say, okay, this is not working. And so by then someone else offers to come in and help. You get those turkey fascists who are like, no, I know how to do it. They come over to your house early. They put their turkey in the oven. And, you know, I will say this just so I don't seem one-sided. I think it smells good. Cooking turkey smells good. There's something comfortable about the smell of turkey. And I don't know if that's just some conditioning from early childhood or it actually smells good. I have no idea. But there is something comforting about the smell of turkey filling up the house, which is why you should get turkey incense and make steaks for Thanksgiving. Get one of those turkey candles that they have. Burn it. Smells like turkey. But don't fall for it this year, guys. Don't fall for it this year. I feel like a lot is changing in the world right now for the better, you know, and people are sort of collectively waking up, and that's always a good thing. We've got Zoran Mondavi. Fucking holy shit. Now, I got to say this. When Trump won, I was doing some salt mining because it's so fun to salt mine after like a political figure that is divisive gets elected. And boy, man, the salt mining was good when Trump got elected. But oh, if you are a salt mine, if you're a true salt miner, you're bipartisan in your salt mining. You don't just salt mine when the guy you agree with wins. You salt mine across the fucking board. And oh, my friends, salt mining, it's so great right now. It's so great. I didn't expect the salt mines to open up again. I mean, I knew he's going to get elected, and I knew like people on the right were going to shit their fucking pants. But yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible, man. It's the best. People are legitimately horrified that a socialist got elected in New York. And I mean, like, horrified. This is the end of times for them. They think it's all over. This, like, 30-something-year-old fucking kid gets elected. That's just that alone is badass. You know, the toppling some... Aren't we sick of old crusts? You know, do... And like my feeling when it comes to what might happen to New York is only because like I was in LA during the pandemic and I saw what happens. I see where like my utopian leanings, when you try to make them happen in the real world, it doesn't work. At least that's just one experiment. And this is, I know I'm getting off course. We'll get back into the darkness of Thanksgiving in a minute. This is where I get patriotic. You hear people say, America, it's like an experiment. They call it the American experiment. And I fucking love that somehow a 30-something socialist, maybe communist, has taken the reins of New York City. I want it to work. I don't think it will, but I want it to. To me, there will be nothing more hilarious than if this kid turns New York into some kind of socialist utopia. I don't see how that could ever happen, but wow, it sucks. You know, people, if you get stuck on one side of the political spectrum or the other, you start wishing ill you want the other side to fail. That's so fucked up. Like, you're allowed to think, I have no idea how that's going to work. Like, you try to do the math in your head, like, okay, we're going to have rent freezes and somehow some kind of government-run food for people. And what's the other stuff he's doing, Josh? He said he would do free buses.
Yes.
Now, if you, like, forget, like, the for the ex there, just... we don't know how. Let's assume he knows how to do it. This episode of the DTFH has been brought to you by Uncommon Goods. I'm sorry to say the countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here. And Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. Don't wait. The most meaningful gifts get scooped up fast, and now's the perfect time to cross names off your list. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, making every gift feel meaningful and truly one of a kind. Look, I feel like I know many of you. And I feel like many of you look at, like, going to Target. You would rather put paper cuts on your nipples and burrow into a tunnel of salt than go Christmas shopping. Not because you don't want to give your friends cool gifts, but because it's just, really? Do I have to do this? Is that just all we are? Salmon swimming up some fucking materialist stream, the beeping, blooping, dark silence of Target, no music, the overwhelming sense, my God, you feel like T.S. Eliot. The fuck has happened to us? Uncommon Goods fixes all of that, and I mean it. They have got some super cool stuff, so you don't have to do the sad pilgrimage. You don't have to do this sad materialist pilgrimage to some place at the last minute, surrounded by people freaked out and in a hurry. You don't have to do that. You just go online. And even better, you can get people stuff that they didn't even know exist. And I am going to talk about something that I am ordering because it is so badass. And this is definitely not for me and only for my kids. The Power Up Paper Airplane Book. Holy shit, are you kidding me? Comes with paper that you can make super cool paper airplanes with, whatever, who cares? You just need paper for a paper airplane. But this actually comes with a freaking device that lets you fly the paper airplane with your phone. That is fucking cool. And my kids are gonna love it. They are gonna love it. There's lots of cool stuff like that. Also, they've got, like, you know, I like weird stuff. I like all their weird stuff. They've got so many, like, strange things. They also have, like, just super cool, like, unique gifts that you can get people so you don't seem like you rushed out to grab people some bullshit. They've just got, like, weird, cool stuff. And it's, you know, you can find this stuff out there, but you're going to spend a lot of days looking for this stuff. And at the very best, you're going to find some, like, replica of what this stuff is. You know what I mean? I'm sure you can find a pop-up mystery escape room game somewhere, but you're going to be driving around a lot to find it. I'm just looking at the cool stuff they have. I'm sure if you wanted to, you can find a repurposed, sorry, fleece-lined robe. But you're going to be looking for a long time for that. So they've got a lot of cool stuff. I'm just reading, like, some of the unique stuff, but great Christmas gifts, great stuff for kids. Sorry, I'm actually doing the commercial way too long because I'm finding myself actually absorbed into their website. Holy shit, that is fucking incredible. Fly ball, lawn, and beach game. Are you kidding me? It's like skee ball. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush to get 15% off your next gift. Go to uncommongoods.com/Duncan. That's uncommongoods.com/Duncan for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Would it be bad if that happened? Would that be bad? How is that bad? People, I'm saying if it worked for for everybody. Great. You're not going to have to move your whole fucking family out of your New York apartment because the rent just shot up by $1,000 a month. That's awesome. Why is that bad? If it works, it's great. Free fucking food.
Where does the money come from?
We're not getting to that part.
Oh, okay.
See, that's where it stops working.
Yeah.
Right there is the problem, is where the money comes from. But before we get to that part, the idea itself is good. That's good. I mean, I'm not saying the execution of in other words, like, I saw somebody on Reddit ask, how big would your wings have to be to actually, if you were a person, like to lift the weight of an average human, how big would your wings need to be? That's a good question. Like, how to execute that? I have no idea, but I would love, I was caught up in 3-Eye Atlas shit, so I didn't like focus on that. But my point is, if we just turn our eyes towards that's good, then maybe it becomes more of a possibility. As an old fucking grump who lived in LA during the pandemic and saw the whole fucking thing just collapse around me, love that city. I've been sort of warped because of that experience, meaning that I'm projecting that experience on all future attempts at some kind of socialist utopia. Which could be considered like wisdom. It's what you're supposed to do. That being said, anytime somebody gets a chance to try it again, there is some possibility they get it to work. Now, the obvious issues are, how do we pay for it? But before we get to that, he wants to give childcare for everybody. Fuck yeah. That's great. I don't know, like living in New York without kids is a nightmare. With kids, childcare, what the fuck? Great. You know, so now how does he do it? That's where we run into a little bit of a problem. Because if I put my mind into the mindset of somebody who is like making money from renting a building, and this socialist comes in who says he's going to do a rent freeze, you know what I'm doing this week? If I'm like
jacking up the rent,
yeah. So I don't know how quickly he's got to do that rent freeze, like yesterday, because I think what might happen now is all the rents are going to go up in New York. Because people are going to be so afraid he's going to freeze the rent. I could be wrong about that.
Or they could be selling the building.
What?
Or sell the building to get out.
Yeah, or selling the building. So that's the first problem is it's like if you do a rent freeze, then you make it so that like people aren't going to make money, like landlords aren't going to make money. Now, you know, one thing I do know about communism is communists love landlords. Karl Marx, I'll quote Karl Marx, I have it memorized. There is no more noble being than the landlord. They keep our buildings painted and they will fix our plumbing issues and they deserve every penny they get. I'm misquoting a little bit, but that's pretty much communists in the chat. You know, that's what Karl Marx said. So I'm sure like, I don't know if he's an actual communist, though. I think
they called him that because he said something about capitalism. The capitalism was the problem.
Yeah, that seems a little weird. He'd say that. That does seem a little off. But again, I'm not gonna. What do I know? You know. It's exciting, man. I think it's exciting. You know, people are waking up. You know, at the very least, like what does I think the reason like the right people get really kind of like squirmy when somebody like Mondavi, I don't want to say his fucking name wrong. They just did this great SNL sketch. Did you see that?
Yeah, everybody fucks up
with
his name.
Shane Gillis and everybody fucks up his name, but then fucking on the right, they like do cheesy fuck ups of his name. And it's so hacky, and I'm not doing that. Will you pull his name up? It's a cool fucking name, too. It's like I would name my, it's like a name that I would name my Elden Ring character. Zoran Mamdani. Zoran Mamdani. Donnie. It's not an easy name to say. Mamdani. Zoran Mom Demon. Zoran Mom Dipshit. Zoran Mom Marxist. But I think it will work? Absolutely not. I think that, you know, what I love about any utopian vision is the person behind it believes it. I think he believes it. I fucking love that. And that's contagious. You like see that and you're like, fuck, I don't know. What do I know? I don't fucking know. So it like catches you. And the other, so people get really upset because what happens with people like that, the very least, the conversation of class comes up. The conversation of like capitalism comes up. The conversation of, is this how we want? I mean, is this just the way it works as like human? Like, you're just people who lose this bizarre game of Fortnite are going to be on the streets. Is that good? Is that okay? Are you okay with that? Do you really believe all of them deserve it? And even if they do deserve it, is that the correct punishment for making a series of shitty decisions in your life? And so the conversation emerges. That's a good conversation. We should be having that conversation, definitely. But then the other problem where it backfires usually is the attempt to implement the damn thing results in like chaos. And you need a lot of time, and it would have to happen slowly. You know, the slow, slow, slow. But this, you can't just come in guns blazing and say you're going to freeze the fucking rent and socialize everything, because then all the people who want to hold on to their money and don't want to get taxed, they either put it in tax shelters or they fucking bail. And so then you're left with, what do you do then? Because then all of a sudden the people that were supposed to benefit from these programs actually end up not benefiting because they're the ones who are going to have to pay for it. And that's, I think, the problem. But I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? All I'm saying is don't go fucking partisan, man. It's not your number one. If you go partisan, you can't enjoy salt mining. You can't. You don't get it's like plants. You know what I mean? Like if they could figure out how to get photosynthetic energy from the moon, dude, that's going to be a successful fern. But if you're a salt miner and you don't figure out how to enjoy salt mining in a bipartisan way, then dude, you're missing the fuck out, because it's always hilarious to go down into those mines and look at what people are saying. It's so fun. Mm. But as I was saying before, people are waking up, and you know what we should play, Josh? Hmm. Play that Mondani, play his speech. I haven't watched it yet. Honestly, if you don't live in New York, who gives a fuck anyway? It sucks. It's kind of like New York at this point turns into this like, it's an experiment. Let's take a look at this guy. Play it. Zoran Mondagama Duma. Morons and Doomy. Morons on Doomy.
Brave new course, rather than fleeing from it. We can respond to oligarchy and authoritarianism with the strength it fears, not the appeasement it craves.
Can you pause it for a second? I think he was in theater.
Oh.
Because he's doing like, if theater kid projecting to the back of the room, it, like, You know what I mean? That's theater. Like he might be a theater kid. Another thing I like about him. Hit play.
After all, if anyone can show a nation betrayed by Donald Trump how to defeat him, it is the city that gave rise to him. And if there is any way to terrify a despot, it is by dismantling the very conditions that allowed him to accumulate power.
Ooh.
This is not only how we stop Trump, it's how we stop the next one.
Oh, yeah.
So, Donald Trump, since I know you're watching,
I know this part.
I have four words for you.
Turn the volume up. Can you pause? What does that mean?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Hold on. Let's go back to the chat real quick. I'm sorry, guys. This is where I illuminate what a true dipshit I am. What does that mean? Stacy says, listen. It means listen. Is it a jab? Because I was thinking it was kind of a kind of clever jab, but like an old man watching TV. That's how dumb I am. I thought it was an age thing. Like, turn your miracle ear up, you old fuck. Oh, he's saying, listen to this shit. Okay, go back and play the thing.
I think that was the end of it.
That was it?
Oh, no, he says more.
Man, that's got to feel good.
Think he'll run for president?
Of course.
We will hold bad landlords to account because the Donald Trumps of our city have grown far too comfortable taking advantage of their tenants.
Can you pause that for a second? I think this is where I disagree with him because, you know, and this is where I think he's not a communist because, like I said before, let's go into the chat, guys. If you love your landlord, type Satan in the chat. Because who doesn't love their fucking landlord? Like, it's like your best friend. They help you. They care about you. Adam Dev loves his landlord. Who else? Go, just put Satan in the chat. Yeah, Mike.
I'm giving mine a Christmas present this year.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. They need that. People, see, you guys, I don't think you understand. Like, it's not an easy job. You have to open the envelopes, you know, if you're doing it that way. And I think a good landlord that maybe he's talking, you know what I think he's talking about with bad landlord is the ones who don't even open the envelopes with the checks in it. The people, you know what I mean? So they don't have that connection with your tenants. I open mine, my tenants' checks. I open them. You know, I smell them, get the smell of, and you could tell a lot by if they're breaking rules.
Oh, yeah.
By the smell of the envelope. And, you know, if I smell a marijuana, okay, go ahead and play it again.
Kind of has that Mark Rubio hair.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what he reminds me of.
Is this a thing now where, because I remember politicians not really having beards, and now they're like J.D. Vance and him.
Mustache.
It's not, well, yeah, but he has the shadow now.
Yeah, it's a thing now. It's a thing.
Does that mean we're going more into like harder times? Is that like,
you know? No, it means they watch my podcast.
Oh, okay.
They're imitating.
We will put an end to the culture of corruption that has allowed billionaires like Trump to evade taxation and exploit tax breaks.
How?
We will stand alongside unions and expand labor protections because we know, just as Donald Trump does, that when working people have ironclad rights, the bosses who seek to extort them become very small indeed.
Shit. Okay, that's enough. Press
New
pause.
New York Damn. Will remain a city of...
Damn. This is another reason that I get paid... Like, these are the things I love about the United States. Like, this happens, like, just out of the blue, some fiery fucking, like, leader dude just appears. And it's so cool. I mean, whether or not you agree with his stuff, like, this is a problem, man. I mean, I know everything I'm saying is just so cliche. But it's like, people have lost the ability to, like, appreciate people. Like, it's like, you, okay, so you don't agree with socialism, whatever. But you gotta admit, that's, wow. You can feel that. You feel it, right, Josh? You can feel that.
I like the way he talks in statements and yells. It makes me feel something inside.
He's alive!
Yeah.
You know, that's like the zeitgeist, you know? Like, he's representing, like, it's not, okay, so, like, let's take, like, what Gavin Newsom's doing, right? He's going, like, I'm just going to do exactly what Trump does in reverse. So, he's the trolling stuff and all that stuff, right? And, it's just not hitting. It's not hitting. But this dude, that's real. Like, whatever the fuck that is real, and that's what people want. And so, yeah, it's going to legitimize a lot of things. Because, like, when people are bitching about, like, woke, they're not really, what they're bitching about is the sanctimony, the condescension. That's not what that is. That's just like, fuck this shit.
This is the start, the way MAGA kind of pushed the right away. Like, all right, we're going to take over. And MAGA took over the right. This is the left side going, all right, you guys, you ain't doing it. Move over.
It could be.
We're the new left.
It could be.
Yeah.
And you know, once you start hitting the places he's hitting, it's like, yeah, that's like, who the fuck is going to disagree with any of that stuff? The problem is like, it's all beautiful until you, like, walk into the lair of the beast, and then it just, you realize, you know, probably. I mean, this is where I'm, you know, one of the most mortifying moments of my life was, like, when went to see Pink Floyd with Joe, Ari, Tony. Somehow we all ended up hanging out with Roger Waters in a hotel. And he was just eating all of us alive. He's such a genius. And, like, he was just, he seemed to, like, really like being around comics, but he's also, like, a wizard and, like, crabby. But he liked it. And so every single one of us, he was roasting. And when it was my turn, he's like, "You're a defeatist, mate." Because I was just saying, like, I don't see the path forward in a utopian way. And it hurt. He's kind of right. So I don't think it was a completely inaccurate. I don't want to be a defeatist. But I do like the vibe. It's going to be sad to watch. I just hope it works.
Why do you call you a defeatist?
What?
Why do you call you
a defeatist?
Oh.
I'd just been sucking on his feet.
Oh.
I want to thank my dear friends at Squarespace for supporting this episode of the DTFH. Look, I could go on and on about the incredible things you can do with Squarespace, and in fact, I will do that in the moment. But the proof is in the pudding. As the pudding maker man says, go to DuncanTrussell.com. It's a Squarespace website. I've had it for years. I love it. Easy to update, easy to change. And not only that, I use Squarespace from time to time to make many websites and to buy domain names. It's a one-stop shopping area if you need to build a website, get a domain name, or anything you might want to do online. It's like a hyperdimensional digital Swiss Army knife. They've got everything you could possibly need. You want help making your website? They have a collection of cutting-edge design tools. Anybody can build a bespoke online presence that perfectly fits their brand and or business. You start with Blueprint AI. Squarespace's AI-enhanced website builder. I've used it. It's incredible. They also offer a complete library of professionally designed and award-winning website templates with options for every use and category. So it's the kind of thing where if you or in a hurry and need to get something up fast, you can do that. I've definitely used it for that. But if you want to spend a little bit more time building your website, you're not going to be like shoehorned into some design. You can do anything with Squarespace. Also, you can fundraise directly on your website and grow your impact with built-in donation tools. Create a professional on-brand website that makes it easy to accept one-time or recurring contributions and engage supporters. And Squarespace makes it easy to showcase your expertise and engage clients with video content on your website. Upload and organize your videos, create stunning video libraries, and even monetize your content by adding a paywall. So whatever you want to do, you can do it with Squarespace. You could try it out for free. Go to squarespace.com/Duncan. Use offer code Duncan when you're ready to launch to get 10% off your first order of a website or a domain. Again, it's squarespace.com/Duncan. Use offer code Duncan when you're ready to launch to get 10% off your first order of a website or a domain. Thanks, Squarespace. Okay, let's see. Stacy Chan, that's a good comment. Things need shook. He shook them. Yeah, I agree with that. Things need shook. And yeah, it's cool. I think it's exciting. And also, like, an indication, this gets me back to my original point. People are waking up. People are beginning to realize that, number one, just because we've done things a certain way doesn't mean that we have to keep doing them that way. People have begun to realize that the stories we tell ourselves about the world are what creates the world. We wag the dog. People are starting to understand the fundamentals of all magical systems. Globally, consciousness is going from the Fool tarot card to the Magician tarot card, which is quite exciting. We were all the fucking hobo on the hill wearing fancy clothes with the stick and the dog. Went right off the cliff. Now we're going into the magician phase is probably what's happening. And that means that we're waking up. We're beginning to realize we don't have to live a chaotic life looking up at the sky. We can balance the elements. And that's when you become a magician. And so even before we get into some half-wit discussion on capitalism, socialism, oligarchs, and classism, let's talk about Turkey. Let's talk about the fact that turkey not only is a scam food, it sucks, that turkey sort of dilutes the reality that prior to people coming to North America, it was filled with people. It wasn't like North America was empty. As if you grew up, especially when I was a kid, that's basically, it was just forests and, you know, here and there some Indians, many of which were like, you know, they didn't say it in our history books, but, you know, they were human, but not the way like Europeans were human. So Thanksgiving is sort of like, yeah, we worked it out with them. We became friends and they gave us food and turkey. And that's what we eat now, turkey. And we give thanks. And so the whole stupid, like fucking Halloween, man. You know what I mean? AKA gay Christmas. That's a good holiday. It's an occult holiday. It's witchy. It points to the changing of the seasons. It has its roots in a lot of great secret traditions. And you get to salt mine on Halloween if you feel like, I didn't do it this Halloween, but you get to find like the fundamentalist Christian's rejection of Halloween, which is so funny. Halloween's a great holiday. Christmas, great fucking holiday, man. Another wonderful pagan holiday. It's like Amanita muscaria, hung on the trees. The ancient druids used to do it. You can go full Wodenite during Christmas, or if you want to lean into your Christianity, you can make it a Christian thing. Or if you want to go like obvious, like just found out about marketing and how we're all brainwashed idiots, you could just be like, what the fuck is this? It's just another way to get people to buy shit to like pump the economy up before the next year. You could pick any of these and mix it all together. Easter, oh my God, like my favorite of all occult holidays, like Ishtar, you know, the egg, is the symbolism of the egg. I think of Hesa, Demian, to be born, a bird must first destroy a world, which is one of my favorite fucking lines from Hermann Hesse. So cool. And then the Easter Bunny's hilarious. Like, how? But trying to like work that out with your kids, how it even works. So fun. Coming up with like, do you say shits eggs? Like, you know, or do you hope they don't get into like the details? Like, where do the eggs come from? The painting of the eggs, the symbolism, the death, rebirth, beautiful. 4th of July. You know, it's fun when you have kids, but I don't know. Fireworks are okay, but I don't know. Never. It's still better than Thanksgiving. Then you get fucking Thanksgiving. Just this like cat turd of a fucking holiday. Just, I mean, I call it Family Week or something. Any other name. Just also the term Thanksgiving. I hate it. Enforced thanks is not thanks at all. If you're going to make me like have some kind of national thing where I feel thankful, I'm sorry. That's not going to fucking work, man. Like I have to do like serious microdoses of mushrooms over a period of like weeks to just like feel normal or feel gratitude to smell. It brings my smell back. But you're not going to, I'm not just, because there's fucking turkey, I'm not going to be suddenly more thankful. You know, I do thank people. I don't want to seem like I'm not thankful. I do. I thank. I like to thank. But
what do they call it? Football Family Turkey Day.
Whatever. Just take the turkey out. Call it Football Family Day. Call it Football Day. Call it, I don't care what. Fucking just chill out day or relax. How about relax day? Or I don't know.
Well, you know what helps you relax?
Turkey. Don't say
it. It makes you fall asleep.
You know what else helps you fucking relax? Indica, great indica weed, melatonin, chamomile tea. I don't need bird flesh to help me relax. And if you're eating bird flesh to chill out, you gotta go to CVS. So people are waking up, and I think the first step, and I'm sure that Mon Dervish over there would agree with me. We have to this year renounce turkeys. Don't do it.
Fried turkeys too?
Oh, I'm fried turkeys?
Yeah.
Why don't you just get drones to fly into people's backyards and spray them with acid instead of encouraging people to do that? Because every fucking year, people see a TikTok with someone frying a turkey. It looks fun. And then they're permanently disfigured. The turkeys blow the fuck up. They burn their fucking faces. That like, this is, yeah, no fried turkey. I'm sure it's delicious, but everything fried is good. You could fry a cat turd. It's probably good.
It's too chewy in the middle.
You don't know how to fry cat turds. Mm. Not like my grandmother did. That's what people will say. And this is the sweet part. It's like you're connected to your family. And so you've paired turkey with you love your grandmother.
Yes.
That's all it is. You love your grandmother. Call it Love Our Grandmother Day. But your grandmother would slave over that turkey. You loved your grandmother. And now when you eat turkey, you remember your grandmother. This is the fucking big turkey hijacked our love of our grandmothers to sell shitty bird meat. And this is why we have to join Zoran Mondami in his push towards equity in the world by speaking truth to power, which I'm doing right now. I have no doubt that some contingent of the internet will take this and warp it and turn it into something it's not. That's fine. You go ahead and fucking do that. Turkey sucks. And if you like turkey, you're a fascist. You know who loved turkey? Hitler. Hitler loved turkey. Loved turkey. Do you know what the original Mein Kampf started off with, the first page?
Gobble, gobble.
Turkey recipe.
Ooh.
Did you know that?
Is it good?
What?
The turkey recipe, is it good?
I'm not eating Nazi fucking turkey like you, Josh.
Oh, well, I wear Hugo Boss sometimes, too. It doesn't mean I'm a Nazi.
Yeah, it does.
Oh.
The main thing is this. Bottom line, if you like turkey, you're a fascist Nazi piece of shit. And you don't care about marginalized people. And you are a bootlicker simp. So, no more turkey for you or for me. This year, we're not going to do turkey.
You like ham?
What?
Ham? Do you do like a big ham?
No, let me do the ad. This episode of the DTFH has been brought to you by Mr. Beast Feastables. This Thanksgiving, why not enjoy a Mr. Beast Feastable turkey-style dinner without turkey? This is not your grandmother's turkey because it's ham. So it's not turkey at all. It comes from a pig, not a bird. Go to MrBeast.com. Use offer code NEWTHANKSGIVINGPATRIOT29 and you'll get 15% off your first order of Mr. Beast's Thanksgiving Feastables. Now, let's dump into this thing now.
Man, I never thought about that. The Thanksgiving always depends on who you spend it with.
Basically. Yeah, I mean, this is the whole trick of all like evil people, is the way you get manipulated is it's pairing. So anytime you see like a brand that is attached to a social movement, all they're doing is trying to like connect their brand to your feeling of, I want to be part of the social movement. It's one of the most evil things you could do. This is the neuro-linguistic programming people do this shit where they'll like get you to start talking about the best day of your life while doing some ambient something. And then when they do that ambient something, your poor stupid brain starts feeling good. And now they're like marionetting what makes you feel good. And they start fucking controlling you. So that's all that is. Like there's a few things that matter in the world. You know, it's your family. It's your health, things like that. It's unquantifiable things. You can't place value on it because there is no quantification of like your like the connection with your parents or your brothers or sisters or kids or friends, or you can't quantify that. If they could, they would have done it by now. They definitely would have done it by now. If there's a way to quantify that shit and you tax it, they would have figured out a way to tax it. They can't.
You can't quantify it, but you can make the taste buds believe that that's not, oh, this is love for my family.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't know. You're just having fun. You're eating some shitty meat. It's not good. Turkey sucks. I mean, bottom line, turkey sucks.
Were you force-fed turkey as a child?
What?
Were you force-fed turkey as a child?
No.
Okay.
No, I wasn't force-fed. Not like a foie gras duck. I wasn't like, they didn't put a baster in my mouth and stuff like that. But yeah, like my grandmother, if we didn't like eat all the turkey, she would like Yakuza her finger.
Oof.
It only happened once. Yeah, it sucked. Using the turkey cutting knife, she would just... She's in front of all of us because like the turkey was dry and she just like was crying, and then just before anyone could do anything, just snap, tip of her finger. And then she was like holding it over her next finger and looking at us, and everyone ate that fucking turkey. And then after that, we ate the turkey. So no, Haley Ann wants to know, what about pheasant? Haley Ann, that's going to be a 1 minute ban. That's a bit self-ban, 1 minute, that you would ask me. You know my thoughts on pheasant. So, yeah, I'm not going to. No trolling, guys. No trolling. Don't ever bring up pheasant in the chat.
So it was like turducken, the trinity of evil?
Turducken is... It's the trinity of evil is going to be turducken, the term surf and turf in Turkey. There is no less appetizing term than surf and turf. It's disgusting. It's like, it means you're going to get steak and shrimp or something, but turf, it's gross. It feels like, you know, you found like a meatball on a golf course. Like, it's disgusting. Ugh. Surf and turf is awful. Okay, now let's get into the core of this episode of the DTFH. One second here. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to read this because it's... I'm trying to get a little more organized here. So because I don't have it, just imagine like some creepy music playing. It is Screamsgiving on the DTFH, and today, we are going to be talking about three horrific things that happened on Thanksgiving. A terrible event at a family, a horrible carnival accident, and I can't remember the third one, but it's fucked up. I've gathered these from across the interwebs. My apologies in advance if anybody is associated with any of these incidents that could be listening to my podcast. I am sorry if it seems like I am using your tragedy for entertainment, which I am, but I'm doing it for entertainment. The Tilt-A-Whirl incident. On Thanksgiving night, 1997, a teenage ride operator in a tiny Indiana town hit start on the Tilt-A-Whirl for one last spin. 10 minutes later, the carnival was silent. No laughter, no music, just sirens. What investigators found in that parking lot ended the fair forever and exposed a secret that had been turning long before that Tilt-A-Whirl ever broke. Fairview, Indiana. 4,000 people, one traffic light, just your typical town. Walmart doubled as a social hub. Kids go there and hang out. Every Thanksgiving weekend, the lot behind it transformed into the Turkey Jubilee Carnival. Just some rides, fried food, comforting illusion that nothing bad could ever happen here. I'm sure we've all been to the county fair. I used to love it as a kid. I can remember going with my brother and getting back home, and we both were like fighting over the toilet to throw up because we had eaten carnival hot dogs and gone on like carnival rides, and we were not only food poisoned but sick, had motion sickness, and we puked all over each other. I'll never forget it. We were like in the bathroom, and you know how it is with puking and yawning are actually quite similar. If you yawn in front of a person, that person will yawn. If you puke in front of a person, there's a contagious element to it. And the reason is theoretically because if you were living in a tribe or, you know, living in ancient times and like you ate poison, the odds are other people had eaten that too. And so thus we can trigger puke in other people by puking ourselves. You know, this had to be like outlawed in soccer games because it used to be that soccer players would intentionally vomit in front of the goalie, making him vomit, and like then someone would shoot and win. You can't do that anymore. They used to do that. If you look at the old games from the 70s, 17-year-old Caleb Mercer ran the Tilt-A-Whirl. He was quiet, responsible, the kind of kid everybody said would go somewhere. His girlfriend, Jess Bennett, worked the snow cone stand, and they were the couple people rooted for until Denise Dorsey showed up. Denise was the carnival owner's wife, 20 years older, sharp tongue, always smelling faintly of perfume and diesel dust. She ran the ticket booth but spent more and more time helping Caleb with maintenance. Pretty soon, you know, it's a small town. People like know everybody and what's going on, and they did start noticing that Caleb seemed to be spending a lot of time with Denise. People would see them out at the diner talking. Apparently somebody saw her like you know, giving him a massage at the carnival. And apparently somebody reported that they both went into the haunted house together. And when they came out the other side, the description that I found online was, it looked like somebody had sprayed mayonnaise all over her lips. I want to thank True Classic for supporting this episode of the DTFH, but even more importantly, for making a perfect t-shirt. I'm a t-shirt man. I'm a t-shirt snob. You can put that on my tombstone. I don't want a garbage t-shirt on my body. And yeah, look, I know maybe like that's, I shouldn't be so concerned with the feel of a t-shirt. I shouldn't be looking to feel the embrace of my family, my mom, and the way my shirt feels against my very sensitive skin. But I am. And True Classic tees, it feels like a hug from my mom. I love it. I love it. I have so many of these now. I mean, I think that says it all, friends. I think I probably have over 15 black True Classic t-shirts. And I have to be careful. Because that's all I'll wear. That's my go-to thing to put on. And if I keep doing that, it's like, who do I think I am? Think I'm running like a tech startup? I can't do that. I got to mix it up here and there. But in a perfect world, I wouldn't. I would just only wear these shirts, and I mean it. Look, what better gift for your friend who's a t-shirt snob than a True Classic tee? What better gift? Like, if you've identified somebody who gives a shit about how their t-shirts feel on their body, these are perfectly soft. I don't even want to know what they do to make these. I don't care. I don't care what they do. I don't care if they have a slaughterhouse where they've got unicorns that they skin alive. I'd still wear it. Skip the guesswork and the overpriced designer stuff. Give comfort, give confidence, give True Classic to those you love. You can find them at Amazon, Target, Costco, and Sam's Club, or head to trueclassic.com/Duncan to grab the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Thank you, True Classic. Caleb swore it was innocent, Jess didn't believe him. Related to the mayonnaise incident, Caleb told Jess that she had been showing him one of the new like ways they were going to scare people, which was by spraying ketchup, like blood. They ended up not doing that, but she grabbed the wrong bottle. It was like mayonnaise and sprayed it on her own face. And so that's what that was. But Jess didn't believe him. The morning of Thanksgiving, a worker overheard them arguing behind the funnel cake trailer. Jess was crying. Caleb kept saying, "It's not what you think. It's not what you think. I'm telling you, you can go in the funhouse yourself and you could see there's a hidden room that's got mayonnaise, ketchup, mustard in it. I don't know why she didn't just have ketchup. She's an idiot." By 8:45 p.m., okay, so cut to Thanksgiving night. By 8:45 p.m., the fairground was almost empty. Cold wind, lights flickering, paper cups rolling across the asphalt. Jess and her best friend Amber Lane showed up one last time, laughing, sharing a slice of pumpkin pie in a plastic container. They asked Caleb for one final ride. He hesitated. The tilt-a-whirl had been making a deep, metallic groan for days. He told Harlan Dorsey, Denise's husband and the carnival boss. Mac just grinned and said, "Add more grease, kid." So, you know, anybody who's been in high school, your girlfriend shows up with her girlfriend. You've got a little bit of power, which is you can maybe run a carnival ride when it's closed. It's kind of a flex. And so he wanted to show off. Now, this is where it gets a little, like, makes you wonder about him a little bit. Because apparently he, like, said, I will do the ride for you guys, but you have to make out in front of me. So, you know, they did. They made out in front of him. And he's like, all right, we could do the ride. Kind of a creep, kind of Girls Gone Wild shit there. He strapped them into car three, double-checked the latch, and pulled the lever. The music started, the ride spun. At first, everything looked fine. Then car three began to rattle hard. This is fucked up. I would not advise looking at the crime scene pictures from this. I did. I'm not going to describe them. Caleb hit the brake. Nothing. He hit it again, still spinning. Max shouted something from across the lot. Before Caleb could hear it, there was a sharp, hollow snap. The tilt-a-whirl jolted sideways and screamed to a stop. When the dust cleared, emergency crews were already on their way. What they found would shut down the Turkey Jubilee forever. Inspectors later determined that the main axle of the tilt-a-whirl had cracked years earlier. Instead of replacing it, Mac had patched it with improvised materials he had lying around. An off-the-books repair meant to save a few hundred dollars. And especially, like, you know, when this happened, like, I'm sure there's more regulations now for carnivals, but when this fucking happened, it was like every time a carnival showed up, somebody would get fucked up. And, you know, carnies are just like meth heads.
A lot of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, Caleb was cleared of wrongdoing, but he never forgave himself. He left Fairview the next spring, changed his name, and disappeared. Now listen to this. Let me see if I can find the description of this. One second. The Fairview police arrived within minutes. Paramedics, inspectors, everyone. Where's the part? The description is so fucked up, if I can find it. Basically, they were turned into gravy, is what is the description of what was left of his girlfriend and her friend. Like, something about the ride went so fast, it completely liquefied their internal organs, liquefied their bones. The description is it looked like someone deflated blow-up dolls that had been filled with blood. Like, it was just, they were, like, completely deflated and...
Like that weed commercial where she's like, this is all she does now, and she's laying on the couch.
Yeah, that, I didn't even add that to my notes here, but that weed commercial was inspired by this incident.
Oh, shit.
Isn't that crazy? You can find inspiration anywhere, guys. That's alchemy. Like, you could take the pulpified, like, just smashed bodies of two teen girls destroyed in a tilt-a-whirl and turn that into, like, an incredibly inspirational anti-marijuana commercial. So it's always out there. Never think that, you know, a lot of people, they talk about the muse or they don't feel inspired. Look, there's inspiration everywhere. Anything can be made into art. Okay. Caleb was cleared of wrongdoing but never forgave himself. He left Fairview the next spring, changed his name, and disappeared. Mac was charged with criminal negligence and served less than 2 years. When he got out, he vanished too. Denise sold the remaining carnival equipment at auction and left town with a man who, according to county records, shared Caleb's new last name. Fucking weird. People in Fairview didn't miss the carnival, but they never stopped talking about it, about the rumors, the affair, and the idea that maybe that night wasn't just an accident. So that's where it gets really fucking weird. Like, was this intentional because he wanted to, like, literally cream his girlfriend? It just seems like, why not just break up with her? You don't have to, like, do a whole carnival accident to kill your girlfriend. So that's story number one.
Oh, they sell turkey legs there too. That's where you find turkey.
What?
Carnivals. Carnivals sell turkey legs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, carnivals sell them. Fucking Disney sells it. It's so gross. Gross. It's gross. It's bad for you too. They say it causes Alzheimer's. Story two. Okay, this happened in Marquette, Michigan in 2008. Thanksgiving morning. The Klein family was behind schedule. Their oldest son, Nathan, was supposed to pick up the turkey from his boss, Randy Tull, who owned a butcher shop downtown. Nathan drove over just after sunrise. The lights were on, the front door was unlocked, but the counter was empty, and the back room was freezing cold. Literally, in the walk-in freezer, he found a single latex glove frozen to the floor. Police assumed Randy had suffered an accident while working alone, but nothing inside the machines matched that theory. The grinders were spotless, bleached like they'd just been cleaned, the smell of bleach in the air. A week later, hunters found a steel drum burned out in the woods. Inside were fragments of bone and plastic wrap. DNA testing confirmed it was Randy. The mix of organic and synthetic materials led investigators to a disturbing conclusion. Someone had disposed of him by grinding and packaging his remains using the same equipment he used on livestock. Police traced it back to Dean Klein, Nathan's father, a former employee Randy had fired for stealing meat. When confronted, Dean didn't deny it. He said everybody wanted a piece of him. I just made sure they got one. It's so messed up. He said that in the interrogation. Of the 20 turkeys Randy had prepared that morning, 12 were never recovered. 12, meaning like theoretically some like people fucking ate this dude. Another reason to not eat turkey, and especially not eat processed turkey, canned turkey, because this is, you'll never hear about this, but it's like, you know, a lot of people working in some of these meat processing facilities, they are not immigrants. They come over here to work, they go back, and they don't have the same protections people have. And like these people fall, like, I don't know if this is true or not, but supposedly it's in some rotten meat processing facilities, if they know that they have to pay somebody, like someone's worked a bunch of overtime, an accident will happen. They'll just push them in the grinder, you know? Because when they clean, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, when they clean meat processing facilities, the workers have to do it in the nude. Did you know that?
Yeah, so they don't steal.
No. Oh. No, just because something about the machines is very, like, they're sharpened blades, basically. And so if you go in there with, like, work clothes on, you can dent or, like, get your belt stuck on the blades. So you have to take your clothes off, cover yourself in a gel so that you don't get cut from the blades, and then you go in there and just clean it. And supposedly, sometimes workers go down in there completely naked, and they just pop on the machine, grind them up, put them in the dog food. So this is another reason not to eat turkey or dog food, and there's barely a difference. All right, here's the third and final story, Thanksgiving story. I've got 17 of these, actually, but these are my favorite ones. I really went down a dark rabbit hole here. Story three. This happened in Humboldt County, California, 2014. What's up to my weed trimmers? The Rasmussens had a Thanksgiving tradition they called the family game. Everyone would write a secret about another family member, drop it into a bowl, and they take turns guessing who it was about. Now, that's a fucked up game. Have you ever played a game with your family? Do you play games with your family?
Yeah, we played this game called Chalupa. And it was a thing like where it was like kind of like bingo, and you put beans on the thing, and it'd be like La Sirena, and then it was the mermaid, and they just pick cards like that. It was a Mexican thing.
What?
It's called Chalupa.
But what do you mean the mermaid?
Oh, they had different cards, and one was called La Sirena, and it's a mermaid. And
oh, like, I see.
If you have it, you put the bean on top of the mermaid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fun. So you've played family games.
Yes.
You know, I used to play Monopoly. with my brother and my dad. And that was horrible. That would devolve into just like almost like fratricide or patricide or all. Like it was, we would start off like just having fun. And by the end of it, you've turned into a demon. Now, here's a little trivia fact that you might not know about Monopoly. Monopoly is actually, it's satirizing capitalism. Did you know that?
No.
A lot of people don't know that. It's like, Monopoly is supposed to be an anti-capitalist game to show you how fucked up it is, the system. And if you've ever gotten in a long game of Monopoly, have you ever played Monopoly where you get mean by the end, where people get heated?
Yeah, I made my kids cry. It was fun.
Dude, exactly. Yeah. It does have this dark, like, you know, you fuck with a Ouija board and things get creepy. You play Monopoly. By the end of it, you have turned into a fucking piece of shit oligarch. If you're winning, you're making garbage deals with people. You're laughing at how desperate they are. It's so fun. And
you get to make up the rules. If you're winning, you start to get to make up rules.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We would hide money. That was another way. Like, I don't even know if we were playing by the real rules, but you would, like, take money and put it away so people would think you were more broke than you were and get false hope. Tax shelters, you know, like, it was awful. And then at the end of the game, we had, we called it the dollar of shame. And you would write on the dollar anything you wanted. So if my dad won, he would write, like, I am the greatest father and most intelligent man that ever lived. And we would have to sign it like it was true. And so it's just filled with, like, these... It filled up, too, with just passive-aggressive shit. Anyway, this game just sounds fucked up. The secret game? Like, dude, would you do that with your family?
The secret game?
Well, in this game, you sit around with your family and you write down secrets about other people in your family and put it in the bowl.
If I'm drunk?
You would do that with your family drunk.
Yeah.
But, dude, I don't, like, it just seems like, depending on your family, it could lead to, like,
divorce, yeah.
All kinds of fucked up things. Anyway, let's keep going here. To me, that's the most horrifying part of the story. It started as a joke, but that year someone slipped in a note that read, I know who killed Uncle Carl. 5 years earlier, Carl had supposedly died in a car crash after leaving that same dinner. His car went off a cliff near Arcata. Case closed, or so they thought. When the note came out, laughter stopped. Carl's sister, Rita, accused her brother Paul of planting it. Paul swore it wasn't him. He even joked, why don't we just ask Carl? And Rita said quietly, you know we can't. You buried him. The room froze. Police later confirmed that Carl had died during an argument that night years before. An accident covered up by the family, they'd staged the crash. Several relatives confessed, each claiming they thought someone else was going to call the police. The strange part, the note was typed. No fingerprints, no traceable ink. No one in the family ever admitted writing it. That's so weird. Some think a guilty conscience finally cracked. Others think that someone outside the family knew the truth all along. Three stories, three Thanksgivings, and three reminders that sometimes the danger isn't out there in the world. It's right beside the people you trust the most. So this year, when you sit down to dinner, give thanks, not just for the people at the table, but for the secrets that haven't made the front page about you. And then imagine music fading out. Wow, thanks for all the likes, you guys. That's fucking great. Let's pause for a moment and do super chats. Any super chats in there? Damn, y'all. Thank you so much. Still no NASA gym tapes. Omega phase. Don't know what you're talking about there, but thank you so much for the donation. MF Damien. joined a bit late. Sorry if the topic has moved on a while back at this point. I, for one, am very curious to see how the Zoran Marmaduke experiment plays out. Me too. I hope it works. Maybe it'll work this time. I don't know. Maybe it'll fucking work. I don't see how. Not in a million years how it works at all. And also, I saw something that, like, the mayor doesn't have even the power to do most of what he wants to do. Did you read that?
No, unless he takes the power.
From who?
I don't know.
He has to become the governor. I think if he became the governor, he could do it. But, yeah, I don't know how he's going to do it. It's just, usually what happens is if, like you say, okay, we're going to start taxing people who make $1 million a year, an insane amount.
That's poor in New York.
Weirdly it is, which is, why he got elected, because that should not be poor anywhere. So, but usually what happens is whatever the number is of the person you're going to tax the most, they leave. Why would you stay? You know, they love it so much, but usually they could just move somewhere else and conduct business outside the city. And then, so now you have population decline. And, you know, the other thing that happens, because the utopian vision any hippie has had is like, man, do we really need so many police? Then, or like, are you really going to send a kid to jail for like stealing gum or whatever, you know, the fantasy is. And so then suddenly you remove those penalties and then crime explodes. And then you've alienated the police and more people move out because it stops feeling safe. You don't have like a actionable way to deal with homelessness. So you've got, you know, people with mental illness, like who need to be hospitalized on the streets or drug addicts, and then more people leave. And so that this is why you've got like, look up population decline San Francisco. It's fucking nuts. Austin, too, is losing population. Significant population decrease starting in 2020 with a net loss of about 109,000 people in the Bay Area between 2020 and 2025. The primary driver of this decline has been domestic out-migration, meaning more people are leaving the city for other areas. Signs of recovery, despite the recent decline, San Francisco started to see population growth in 2021 and 2023, although it remains below the 2020 high. Contributing factors, high housing costs remain a persistent challenge. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, that's generally the pattern that happens is like you, if you're, this just happened in Austin. There was a proposition where they wanted to increase tax. You know, that Prop Q. It didn't pass.
Oh, it didn't?
Mm-mm. I don't think so. No.
I thought it did.
No. Unless I'm completely mistaken. Look it up. Thank you, Amantara, formerly known as Minnesota Nice, for supporting this episode of the DTFH. Amantara, they are giving the world the gift of Amanita muscaria. Oh my God. Truly incredible. Like my mind was blown when I finally got around to sampling Amantara's incredible Amanita muscaria. Whoa. Really amazing substance. Amanita muscaria isn't just any mushroom. It's a natural, non-addictive replacement for alcohol and sleeping meds, offering effective relaxation, deep sleep, and potential health benefits without the hangover or dependency traps. And get this, despite what you've heard, Amanita muscaria isn't toxic or poisonous at all. That's a gross misrepresentation that's kept its magic hidden for too long. It's actually very safe when used properly. And I, Duncan Trussell, really, really enjoy it. That's in the copy, but it's true. I guess they've listened to past reads. I've had amazing experiences that have opened doors to profound calm, vivid dreams, and even some cool insights. Their Amanita muscaria capsules pack 500 milligrams of raw powder each. You start with 2 to 3 capsules, 1 to 1.5 grams, for effects that hit in about an hour and last 6 to 8 hours. But Amanita's uses go way beyond quitting benzos and alcohol. It helps regular folks with daily anxiety, acts as a nootropic for mental tasks or workouts, serves as an alcohol replacement at parties, delivers insightful experiences in larger doses, and supercharges dreams for that rocket boost to your subconscious. You could, sure, you could wait for NASA to release the images of Comet Atlas, or you could just astral project there. Amantara Minnesota Nice Ethnobotanicals invites you to dive into the world of natural magic. Head to amantara.com/go/Duncan and use code Duncan22 for 22% off your first order. I highly recommend starting with the Amanita muscaria capsules. And don't forget to add 3 to 4 Blue Lotus gummies for that extra dreamy boost. Most people start there and keep coming back for more. That's www.amentara.com/go/Duncan, code Duncan22. Check out the informational content on the site for safe use tips and let the law of revelation guide you. Much love.
No fails.
Yeah. 20% property tax increase. So, and you know, if like, it's easy to think like, well, I don't own a house, so who gives a fuck? But it's like, well, yeah, you don't own a house, but whoever owns whatever you're renting is going to increase your rent. And this was weirdly a bipartisan thing. It wasn't like a left-right thing. People on both sides are so sick of like what apparently is like mismanagement of funds in Austin. And this was going to, this 20% tax increase was not even like, it was like kind of like vague what they were going to do with it. And so it got, it got shut down because, you know, you have to like actually, if you're going to like have tax, like a shit ton of taxes, that needs to show up around people. And when there's a lot of taxing happening, but nothing is improved. The streets are still fucked up. You don't feel safe. Like things are catching on fire because of like encampments and shit. Then people start bailing. There's, you can't force people to stay. And then when people leave, you have less people to tax. The housing market gets fucked up. Then this leads to a potential sort of death spiral. You know, that's where if you're going to like try to correct classism, but you only have limited power to do it in a short time period, how the fuck do you do it? You can't make people stay in New York, and you're not going to like keep people from like putting their money overseas and shit. That's what a lot of people do is there's all these tricks. You could just
shell companies
in the Maldives or whatever. People do that. Like they get away with it. There's a like whole like there. If you look up the number of, isn't it the Maldives is where they do it?
I always thought it was Switzerland.
It's everywhere. Where do rich people hide their money? Glad that's not my fucking offshore accounts and trusts and tax havens for privacy and tax reduction, or a private vault.
Oh yeah, people can put
it. That's it. The Cayman Islands, not the Maldives. Not the Maldives. Wealthy individuals open accounts in countries with low or no taxes, such as the Cayman Islands, Luxembourg, Bermuda, Panama, and Switzerland, to reduce tax liability. They use legal structures like corporations or trusts to hold their wealth, shielding their name from ownership and making it difficult to trace their assets. This separation is also used for vaults, making it harder for lawsuits or divorce proceedings to access assets. Private banking. They use private banking services. So yeah, like once you get to, it's kind of like, when you get to the place where you could do private planes, no one's checking your bags for drugs. You just throw your bag on the fucking plane. You could throw your bag could be just filled with cocaine. Just toss it in the fucking plane. You land, just throw it, your car is sitting in front of the plane. So it's like, it's weird because on one side of the socioeconomic spectrum, if you're super rich, you don't follow the same rules. You don't have to pay. There's ways out of paying taxes. There's ways out of like, and then if you're like dead broke and they can't take anything from you, you also don't pay taxes.
So it's to drain the middle class.
Right. It's like, but if you land somewhere in the middle, suddenly you have to, like, you're the one who has to like bear the burden of everything. It's so fucking weird that way. And there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing can be done. It's an unsolvable problem. Oh, thank you, Ken. Puke triggering is E-tier salt mining. S-tier salt mining. Thank you. If there's a time at the end of class, can we pull up the big milk video? Oh, you wanted me to show that last time. Yeah, sure.
There it is.
Because if it's AI, they call it slop. Oh, yeah, play it. We'll go out on this. Wait, hold on. Am I going to get it dinged? I guess we can just cut it out of the podcast. Yeah, go ahead and play it.
Okay.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
That's pretty good.
Bravo. Bravo. That's freaking cool, man. I like it a lot.
That's the new Chick-fil-A commercial.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. You, like, it's interesting, right? Because you have to think, whenever we see movies that have animals in them, they always have at the end, no animals were harmed making this. And one thing for fucking sure that AI-generated video is going to do is, like, really protect a lot of animals from having to be fucked up in movies. Because definitely, like, it's still not cool. Getting a chimpanzee on set or whatever, which I did once, still feel bad about it.
And babies. Babies can now work long hours because they're not real.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, exactly. Child labor, all that stuff. There's a lot of good that's going to come from it, for sure. And then also, it's like, what are you going to do? Like, if you really wanted to make that without AI, what are you going to fucking do, man? How are you going to do that? Going to get cows and throw them in a fan? You know how hard that's going to be? You're going to have a catapult to launch a cow into a fan. Think of the energy that would take. You know? So there, we have to like just distinguish. But first of all, you can't just call it slop because it's AI. Yeah, everything I just showed you was slop. Verifiably garbage, just shit, like just a dumb idea that cost, like, I put no thought into, but I'm just bored. I'm like, oh, I want to see what people look like fighting on cheese, essentially. Don't even know why, just interested. That is slop. But I don't know if you can call this, that the video that we just saw, slop. You might not like the music, but that's not really slop. So maybe we have to find like a new, I don't know, a new word for whatever this shit is. That's what was cool about talking to the Sora people is they really want people, they want this to, they want people who don't have access to Hollywood style cameras and a crew, and they want someone to, they want them to like be able to make something cool. Is that bad? I mean, I don't know. Also, probably there is some capitalist stuff in there, too. They do recognize the first moment, like some high schooler makes the next, like, Stanley Kubrick movie with Sora and Vio. It's like, yeah, the AI bubble will not pop a little bit longer. I mean, that's where I've been kind of shocked by the people who are attacking me about it, is I feel like they haven't thought it all the way through. That, because it seems like in some ways I align with them in worldview, like in the sense I see this as a more of like an equalizer. That, yeah, it's a disruptive, it's fucked up, but it seems like a kind of amazing equalizer, and that the power of media to satirize is like you can really use the language some of you use, which I don't necessarily care for, but you could use the swinging watch of the oppressor's hypnotic fucking pendulum, you know, which is all the forms of media that we've all just gotten used to and think is normal. And you could duplicate it almost identically. And people are so used to thinking that's real, I believe that. You could use it, you know? Come on. Got to be a little bit more, think outside the box a little bit more. Just a sort of monolithic denouncement of AI-generated content seems a little short-sighted. Let's see, Tanner is making a very important point here. Slop is for pigs, eh? How symbolic is the boars domesticate into fat little cute hogs? It is fun to say big swinging hog. I don't know why. Michael Dobos wants to know, when will you do the AI porn? No, fuck that. Because, like, I mean, I'm from a different time. I don't know where you kids are at with porn right now, but I'm still kind of like, I'm embarrassed that I look at porn. I can't get that out of me. It feels gross and weird. So, dude, I mean, yeah, it would be fun. Also, I feel gross talking to ChatGPT, like, all of a sudden making it do, like, erotic conversations with me would just seem, like, really not cool, not cool at all. I've been getting it to tell me, like, I've been giving it medical symptoms. I've been letting my kids talk to it. I can't suddenly be, like, act like you're Sydney Sweeney with a big old hog. Wouldn't feel right. Also, I don't want, like, all my kink fantasies going up through the fucking OpenAI servers. Give me a break. That's a real problem they're going to contend with. Like, I get them wanting to monetize and get more people interested in it. But, dude, nobody in their right fucking mind is going to, like, feed ChatGPT all their kink shit. Nobody. You'd be out of your mind to do that. That's crazy.
Wasn't there guys making OnlyFans models out of AI?
Yeah.
And so they're putting in maybe not their own personal stuff, but what other people want. They go to see who's searching what.
Dude, I know. And I think there's a sort of, that's another place where you have to ask, like, what's more ethical? Like porn, human porn, or AI generated porn?
It's virtual pimping.
Right. And no one gets hurt. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like there isn't. You have to, there's all these like weird things that we're all going to have to deal with.
I'm sure the consumers get hurt. It shrinks their brain.
Porn shrinks your brain?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like that could be useful.
How? Oh, useful to like,
well,
bad
like,
people?
You know, somebody has like a brain injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their brain starts swelling.
Oh. Instead of removing a piece of the skull, you just show
get them
porn.
To jerk off to porn.
Ah.
Has anyone thought of that? If it really shrinks your brain, it seems like it could really help. I wonder if neurologists have considered this. Any neurologists in the chat? That's what you do. If somebody comes in with a head injury and they're having brain swelling, you're like, dude, get what kind of porn do they like? Like a theater where you wheel them in and they just jerk off for a few hours and then shrink their brain down.
Mike says whistling grows
Fuck
your brain.
Fuck you, Mike Mulgrew. Whistling grows your brain. Okay. I'm not, I can whistle. It's easy to whistle. I know how to whistle. I could show you YouTube videos I've seen on how to whistle. It's easy to whistle. I can whistle. So I could easily do that. And the moment that I do that, I am sending a message to the world, which is succumb to pressure. And yeah, it would be easier for me to whistle. Trust me, it would be easier for me to whistle. And a lot of people in very high places of power would love for me to bow down and whistle, be a whistling man. But I do whistle. In fact, as soon as this camera starts rolling, I'm going to be whistling. You've heard me whistle, right, Josh?
You were whistling when you came in here.
There you go. So, yeah, you whistle. How about that? You whistle. Talk about bad comebacks. You whistle. You fuck. You whistle, you fuck. You whistle. All right, I got to get out of here, you guys. I love you. Thank you for letting me do this. Hey, if you didn't watch the Oz Perlman episode, you should watch it. He blew my fucking mind. There's a clip of it on Instagram, but you need to see the whole thing. Holy shit. That guy is cool. And also check out his book. It's not bad. He sent me a copy. It's good. So I got to get out of here. I'm headed to Illinois this weekend. I think it's Illinois. Where am I headed this weekend, Josh? St. Louis, not Illinois. What the fuck's wrong with me? I'm going to be in St. Louis November 6th, 7th, and 8th at Helium. I don't know if I've ever done that. Then after that, I'm going to be at the Legion of Skanks Festival. And then after that, I'm going to be in Tampa, Florida. It's Side Splitters. And that will be the end of this part of the tour. So come see me if you're in any of those places. I got to go. I love you. Like, subscribe. I'll see you next week. God bless you. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first... There, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.